Good morning, church family. My name is Brandon, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at High Point Fellowship. We're so glad that you joined us today for this worship service. And can we just say right off the bat that we love our church family? You guys are on our hearts and our minds every day. We're praying for you and thinking about you guys, and looking forward to seeing y'all hopefully soon. If you're not part of our church family yet, we want to just encourage you. If you want to find out a little bit more about who we are, feel free to send an email out to our church office. It's office@hpf.org, and we'd love to be able to connect with you at some point here in the near future. We're so thankful that you're joining us today in worship. And 2 weeks ago, we began a new series through the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and we called our series Going for a Walk. So if you missed it, feel free to check out our High Point YouTube page and see those last couple services that you might have missed out on. One of the things that we're asking our church family to do during this series is to post pictures on our Facebook or Instagram pages with the hashtag High Point Was Here. And really, you could post anything that reminds you of God's goodness or something that strengthens your faith or encourages and builds up the body of Christ. And I just want to say thanks to all of you who've already posted pictures. We love seeing those, and we're excited to see more of those here as we continue this series through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Get outside, share your pics with us, church family. And when you post your pictures, don't forget, again, that hashtag is High Point Was Here, all one word. And let's encourage one another with what the Lord is showing us as we get outside and go on these walks through our neighborhoods. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to study, as we study through the book of 1 John, it's important for us to remember why he wrote this book in the first place. He wrote it to call believers back to the three basics of the Christian life: true doctrine, obedient living, and faithful devotion. And it's those three things that he wants to remind us of what going on a walk with Jesus is all about. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and let's look together at verses 1 through 3. John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." You see, this very first word here in chapter 3 that's translated in our version, "see," is actually really the command in the Greek, "behold." Behold the love of the Father. John invites us to close our eyes to the distractions of this world and open them to the truth that the Creator of the entire universe loves us. He loves you and He loves me. And He's shown us that love so completely that it can never be measured. Think about this for a moment. How great is the love of God for you? Can you fathom how complete, how eternal, how perfect His love is for you? If you spent your entire life studying the love of God, contemplating it, pursuing it, thinking about it, at the end of your life, you'd realize that you were never able to find out just how much God loves you. John writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." So how do you measure the extent of God's love for you and I? You measure it by the fact that He has brought us into His own family. And He's made us His children with all the rights and privileges of a child of God. I love what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. He says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. What an incredible gift it is, church, to be called a child of God. We were adopted as His children, heirs of His kingdom, co-heirs with Christ. And He calls us His children not because we became worthy of His name, but simply because He loves us. That's it. There's no other reason. God loves us so much so that He gave us His only begotten Son so that we could be part of His family. What an amazing grace it is given to us by the Father, because today, even though you and I are sinful and wicked, God still loves us. You are His precious child. You see, this is one of those moments where John is writing to give assurance to believers. Assurance that the love of God in Christ Jesus has secured your adoption as His child. You're not a Christian, a follower of Christ, because you obey God. You are a Christian even though you disobey God. You're not a Christian because of all the good things you do, all of the incredible acts of kindness that you partake in. Even when you do sinful things, you are still a child of God, and He loves you with this everlasting love. Church, where is your confidence today? Do you have confidence that the love of God has brought you into the family of God, that you belong to the family of God? Are you assured that Jesus' work on the cross has covered every one of your sins from the first to the last? When you look at your heart and you look within and you see sin and corruption, can you still say of yourself, I am a child of God? Brothers and sisters, you are. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you are a child of God. Sinning never causes you to lose your salvation. You believe that to be true. We all do. And yet we still have those moments where we look at our relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father, and we treat it more like a foster relationship than a full legal adoption. I remember going through the foster adopt process with Harley and loving her with all that we are, despite the fact that there was always that chance that she could one day go back and have to live with her birth mom and not with us. And it was one of those thoughts you never wanted to talk about or think about, yet it was always there in the back of your mind. But then came her adoption day, October 12th, 2018. And it was an incredible day because on that day, we stood before a judge, made an oath before God, and she became Harland Mae McCaughey. She wasn't a McCaughey for just a season. She's not even a McCaughey just till she's 18. She was adopted into our family for life as one of our own. She has all the same legal rights as any of my boys do, and she holds the same place in my heart that any of them have. Our relationship went from temporary to permanent, and there was nothing that she could do. There's still nothing that she could ever do that would cause her to not be part of our family. Brothers and sisters, maybe today you're struggling with the fact that you don't think that you're a child of God, that your behavior somehow disqualifies you from being called the child of God. And John is telling you this morning to look at the love of God in Jesus Christ, because in Him you have been adopted into the family of God. Jesus secured your place in His family while He hung there on the cross for you and I. He has gone to incredible lengths to make you His. He will never let go. He will never give up on you. He loves you, and you are His forever. Now let's move on to verse 2. John says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but what we know, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." John is assuring us of our destiny as God's children. What does that look like for us? One day we will become like Christ. I don't know if you think about that, but that is a marvelous truth. All your struggles with sin, all your fears, your doubts, all of that is going to be gone forever. That is the promise of God to you as a believer in Jesus. And it may look to you, as you examine your own heart and you examine your own life, that you are far from the person that God wants you to be, far from the person that God has called you to be. And we all have those days where those failures are much more obvious. But there will come a day where you and I will stand before God in our glorified bodies, in the presence of our God, and we will become like Jesus. Perfect, righteous, holy, blameless, and all those sinful failures from our past are going to be forgotten forever. Now let's look at verse 3. John says, "And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." Purity comes as we put our hope in Jesus, as we are transformed by God's Word, as we grow up into God's family by being a part of God's family. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle as a father, right? Hard to imagine that maybe. But my greatest desire as a father is for my kids to be exactly who God wants them to be. And when they have those moments of disobedience or disrespect, or as Nina would say, of being naughty, our inclination as earthly fathers is to lose our temper, to overreact, to discipline even unjustly. But our Heavenly Father is not like that. When you and I sin, when we don't have purity in our lives, instead, He's like a perfect Father who looks down with patience and mercy on us, and He says, "You are my child. I love you." But in our family, we don't act like that. John is reminding us of whose family we belong to. When John writes, "Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure," what he means is that your Father who loves you and has adopted you is holy and pure and righteous, and He wants you to be holy as He is. He wants you to bear the family likeness. He wants us to look like Jesus. Now let's move down to verses 4 through 10, if you'd follow along. He says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. But whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." is a powerful section of scripture, church, and one we need to wrestle with a little bit, because I want to be very clear about something. We've said this throughout our series in 1 John, but I think it's important to reiterate it every single time we get to a passage like this. John is not saying that we are saved by being righteous. And he also isn't saying that if you believe and you practice being righteous, then you will be saved. It is never about our righteousness. It is always, always about Christ's righteousness. But what John is saying here in these verses is that if God has done a work of grace in your heart, if you have truly believed that Jesus Christ is your salvation, you've believed in Him alone for that salvation. By faith alone, you have rested in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then the evidence of God's grace working in your life is shown in the way you live your life. The opposite is also true. And again, John gives us these moments where he's showing us the light and the dark juxtaposed against one another. Notice what he says there in verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. When a person's life is bent towards sin, towards a rejection of God's word, towards a refusal to pursue holiness, their life bears the same mark as the devil's does. Because Satan was this example of someone who rejected God's word, rejected God's commandments, desired sin, and refused to put himself in submission to the holiness of God, to become more like God. And because of all that, it says that he was cast out of God's presence. Church, what you do reveals who you are and whose you are. Your life is a reflection of the truth of your faith. John is making this clear in verse 9 when he says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." Again, to be clear, John is not writing about the issue of Christian sinning. He's not talking about when we sin. He's talking about the person who claims to be a Christian, but the habits or the characteristics of their life are lived in willful disobedience to God's word. Do all Christians sin? Yes. Do all Christians sin more than once? Absolutely. Does that make them not Christians? No. John is reminding us, though, that the way we live our lives still reveals who we really are. And again, it's always, always going back to this issue of the heart. What is your heart and your attitude towards sin? Do you cling to it? Do you love it? Do you revel in it? Or are you seeking after the Lord, running from your sin and fleeing from it whenever possible? Look with me at verse 10. He says, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." See, John is telling us that those who love and know Christ want to be like him, have a desire to mold and shape their lives in the image of Christ. It's all about practice. It's all about working at it. It's all about picking yourself up when you've fallen into sin and then learning how to avoid it better the next time. Sometimes we fall and we bury ourselves in the sin, and yet in that moment, what we do defines whether we are walking with God or not. When I was in seminary at Gordon-Conwell and near Boston, Massachusetts, Crystal and I lived in Graham Hall, which was the on-campus apartments for married couples and families. and we were just newly married. But down the hall lived a couple who had four little kids. And one of those kids was the feral sort. You know, you might have one of those, or you know someone, that they are just kind of wild, always out of control, always running around. And somehow they're always dirty. I don't know how they get that way, but there's just those kids, right? They're a little bit crazy, but anytime it was wet or muddy or dirty, this kid wanted to be outside. He wanted to be rolling around in the mud, and it didn't matter how often his parents threatened him or warned him or what was going on. He loved being dirty. He loved getting in the mud, and he would run to it any chance he could get. He would dive right into the middle of a huge mud pit. He'd march that sloppy mess when he was done right back into their family's apartment. And there was nothing his parents could do to keep him out of it. And I remember one day his dad was running late for class. And I was out in the parking lot. And here comes this dad, and he's carrying a big stack of books. And he's got his coffee, and he's trying to get his car keys out of his pocket. And as he came outside, he wasn't really paying attention. And he hit this big mud puddle and came crashing down right into the middle of that muddy mess. He was covered in mud all down the back of him, up onto his books, into his coffee cup. And because he was running late, he ran back into his apartment, changed his dirty clothes, cleaned himself up as best he could, wiped off his books. And as he made his way out the second time, he noticeably made an extra wide turn around that mud pile. This is exactly what John means here in these verses. It's not that Christians don't sin anymore, but when we do fall down, when we do get dirty in the mud, the next time we see that mud pile, we avoid it. We avoid the places that we know we're going to go and get dirty. And then once we've been cleaned up, we don't run back into that same slop over and over again, like that little kid who lived down the hall. Instead, we learn to go to the Father and say, Lord, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for forgiving me by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for letting me be clean day by day because of his sacrifice for me. You have a God who is patient and merciful. And he's telling you to get up out of the mud and to start running towards Jesus. And there are times that you're going to fall back into that mud pit. But know that the next time you approach that pile of dirt, maybe you need to ask the Lord, how far away from this mud pit do I need to go to not get dirty? The last thing I want to share with you, church, is that when the follower of Christ struggles with sin, there's this passage that we've read in 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 1, that I want to just keep pointing you back to. And I pray that the Holy Spirit reminds you of this truth so that you don't live in discouragement when you sin. Because there are going to be times where sin piles up and you struggle with it over and over and over again. But John reminds us in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, I am writing to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you sin, you have an advocate. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, he will plead to the Father on your behalf. John knows how great the struggle with sin really is. And the key for us as believers is to be continually bringing our struggles and our sin before God. Church, are you dependent upon Jesus alone to redeem you of your sins? Or are you holding on to your sins? Are you trying to hide them from God? Are you trying to run back to that same mud pit every chance you get? Assurance of salvation, comfort, peace. These things come to those who have freedom to bring their sinful behaviors before their God, knowing that when you do, he offers to clean you off, to wipe away that muddy sin, and again remind you that you have been declared righteous because you are a child of God. and you've been redeemed by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory forever and ever. Let's pray together, church. Lord, we thank you that we have been brought into your family as your children. Lord, I pray that that truth would resonate in our hearts and our minds as we go throughout this week, that we would remember that we haven't been called to be children of the world, but we've been called to be your children. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. We struggle with sin. We struggle with the weight of our failures and our weaknesses. And yet, Lord, you are patient and ever merciful and so gracious to us day by day. Lord, I pray that when we do fall down into those muddy pits, that we learn to pick ourselves up and to run to you seeking forgiveness. And Lord, teach us, give us wisdom to avoid those temptations the next time. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus, to bring him glory by our lives that are submitted to you and to your will and to your word. We praise you for Jesus and all that he means in our life. Go with us this week. Teach us by the Holy Spirit. And may our hearts be open to hear what you have to teach us. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for being our God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As you walk with Jesus today, remember that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You have been adopted into his family. God is your father, and we are his children. We are his heirs and co-heirs with Christ. So be at peace and live in confidence of that truth, church, knowing that the love of God our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with us wherever we go. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. Have a beautiful day, High Point family. We love you. We miss you. We'll see you next week.